always tell people I joined Duolingo because I wanted to do another IPO and I wanted to be in Pittsburgh, but I stay at Duolingo because I love it.
Hello and welcome to Off the Books, where we surf the uncharted waters of accounting, finance, risk, and wherever else the waves take us. This episode is brought to you by Workiva, the platform that brings financial reporting, ESG audit, and risk teams together to help you provide assured integrated reporting.
You don't see that every day, like an Ohio State victory over Michigan.
Ooh, that one hurt. My name is Steve Soder, accounting enthusiast and Diet Coke aficionado. Looking forward to debiting a great conversation today, and I'm so happy to have you riding along with us. This is actually part two of a recent conversation that we had, and as such, I am delighted to have Catherine Tsai and Mike Gavagno joining us again. Catherine, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure, I'm not an accountant or Diet Coke aficionado, but I like venti soy chais, asking questions, and learning new things. And Mike, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure, I am an Off the Books producer, Cherry Coke addict, and sports ignoramus, so I did not understand at all what you guys were just talking about. But you know what I do understand? Because I listened to part one, IPOing. And in our last episode of IPO Chronicles, we heard from Nancy Golembeski, the controller of Duolingo, who told us about her very first IPO with a different company.
Yeah, Nancy had some kind of horror stories to share. I mean, not horror stories. Obviously, they got out of the gate, but they were using traditional technology. Her manager was super busy, working late, working on pricing, putting out fires. Candidly, they weren't using Workiva at the time. And anyway, as you can imagine, it was a little bit of a mess.
But now that she's at Duolingo, we also wanted to hear about her journey in taking Duolingo public. So let's take a listen. When you went over to Duolingo, tell us a little bit about that IPO process and maybe when you suggested Workiva, how did you even know to suggest that that was an option for you and what was the reaction to that?
I mean, when I interviewed, I brought up Workiva. Like, I think one of the questions from the CFO was like, if you were going to do something different, what would you do? And I'm like, make sure the company's ready and use Workiva. Like, because once, again, I hadn't used Workiva. I hadn't even heard of Workiva when we were going public. And then we had to hurry up and start figuring out what we were going to do for the first quarter. We did demos and we picked Workiva because a prior company I had worked with had switched to Workiva. But that first quarter, like, we didn't sign with Workiva. I think we signed in January. Like, it was late. And we had a file in February. And it was amazing how easy it was to just upload the entire thing, how easy it was to like format it, get everything ready. So I knew that I was not going to go back to doing this in Word. Then whenever I was hired and we kind of started talking about the S1, like the attorneys that we use, like had been like, you don't want to use Workiva. You can't track changes. It's really hard to like collaborate. And so like, that the attorneys had listed out like all the cons of using Workiva. And I had like next to every single point, I was like, this is not true. And Workiva, you can track every single thing. You can put in a milestone. You can put like whatever you want. You can do a red line to a prior copy. Like there's all these checks that you can do and you can link it. So if you make one entry, you don't have to find everywhere that flows through. It just flows through. I'm very fortunate that the CFO at Duolingo is, he recognizes the value of that. And he's very like focused on all the numbers are going to be right. And we're going to tie them all out. So I think the minute that we were like, hey, like we use Google Sheets for everything or documents. Like, can you imagine trying to change one number 50 times throughout that? He's like, no. So, I mean, he'd never used Workiva, but I'm fortunate that his accuracy, desire for accuracy and desire for the formatting and for everything to look presentable was so important that he was like, you're absolutely right, we're going to use Workiva. Now, we did agree to start the document in Google Docs. And the reason was because like then all these different people could like input into it. So we did the front section of the S1 in a Google Doc. And then once we got to the first filing and once we got everything in Workiva, we stopped Google Docs. And at the end, the attorneys, not our general counsel, but the third party we were using, she was like, wow, like, you've converted me onto WorkKeeba. This is amazing. Because she's seeing, like, we were tagging her in comments, and we were able to, like, fix it right there in the document and not have to work on it in Google Docs and then go back and, like, review it again in WorkKeeba.
That's pretty cool. So this time around, when you had the day of pricing and the actual going public day, what was that experience like?
It was amazing because, I mean, now I am, like, the controller. So now I had the position that my boss had. But I was still at a happy hour. I was still celebrating. The biggest thing the CFO and I were doing is we were reviewing the rep letters that we had to sign and making sure that, like, we were agreeing with every bullet in there. And, like, once we settled that, it was great. Like, I think I was back at the hotel at, like, 7. It was just, like, got a great night's sleep, got up the next morning. Everybody was relaxed. At least I was relaxed. I can't speak for the CFO because, you know, I'm sure he was up prepping for all his interviews. But, yeah, it was amazing, and it's because of WorkKeeba. Like, it's because when we set the price, you typed it in one time in WorkKeeba, then you hit publish, and it's throughout the entire document. I have never had a bad customer service call either with WorkKeeba. Like, I understand that, like, we're talking about going public, but that is another reason why, to me, it just completely, like, sets WorkKeeba apart. I'm sure, like, I don't know anybody that can say, like, I've called my service provider and I've never had a bad call, ever. Like, every person I've ever worked with is amazing. And there's a lot of times, like, you hang up the phone with another provider and you're like, I can't believe I'm paying for this. But everybody, whether I'm trying to file and I'm using the customer support or I'm using Jared on my, you know, our account manager, they're just all incredible. So,
well, I've never been part of an IPO. Why is it so important to have good customer service?
Oh my gosh, especially the IPO. I mean, when you're working around the clock and, like, things do get tense because, like, especially, like, a Duolingo tour, we're very creative and we really, like, the design really matters. So when I have a manager who's, like, leaving me a note, like, this looks like it's 14 points and this one's 13. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. So I'm like, Judy. And she's like, got it. And, like, they just fix it all. And if you work for a company that the design, like, is top priority, it's just great because they do all that work for you. And I don't have to worry. I have to worry that the numbers are right, but I don't have to worry about how it's displayed on the pages.
Well, we appreciate all of that. Candidly, weren't expecting a massive glowing endorsement as part of this conversation, but Nancy will take it, so, like, don't get me wrong. I'm just wondering, as you think about, you know, as you describe, like, the day that you go public and, yeah, I got a great night's sleep or at a happy hour, things are going great. I mean, I would assume that a lot of that just had to do with the overall confidence that you had in the process. Sounds like technology and WorkKeeba was at least a piece of that. I'm sure, though, that there's more to it. I mean, is that what you would equate to the fact that, hey, I had a great day when we went public because I was really confident that there was nothing wrong? Yeah. I mean, is that how you would characterize it?
Yeah, I also think, you know, we had made our first internal audit hire. And we had also used, prior to me being there, we'd use a consulting firm who had kind of gone through and identified all of our gaps. But then in March, we had hired our first internal auditor. So he was actually able to go through and identify gaps. So, like, we knew where our holes were and we were disclosing. And we had done a lot of the work ahead of time. Like, the revenue, we had already adopted it. We early adopted leases. So from, like, an accounting side, we were ready. Like, there wasn't a, we're going to go public and then figure things out. Like, we had figured it out. We were ready to go. And from a business side, like, Duolingo is just such a great story. Like, I always tell people I joined Duolingo because I wanted to do another IPO and I wanted to be in Pittsburgh. But I stay at Duolingo because I love it. Like, it's just an amazing company. And, like, when you're listening to the CFO and the founder, like, talking about their stories and the CTO and everybody, like, it's just, I've never worked for a small company and I was a little bit nervous, but now I'm like, this is, like, I can't see going back to, like, any other company.
I know we're running out of time here, but if you had to pick one standout memory from the process of going public with Duolingo, what stands out the most?
that when we were at not Market's Times Square, because we're from Pittsburgh, they gave us all terrible towels to wave, and just the marketing at Duolingo is so creative. So like being part of that, waving the terrible towel, unfortunately I did not know the right way to wave a terrible towel, even though I've lived here my whole life. But like,
oh wait, there's a right way to do it?
Yes, apparently you wave it over your head. Like, that was not what I was doing. That was not what half of us were doing. But like, it was just watching and just seeing how the entire company was celebrating. Like, if you were at the IPO, you're celebrating, but every office was having parties to celebrate the IPO. Like, it was just incredible.
Do you still have your terrible towel?
I do. I don't know where it is, but I do have it. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, Nancy, we always try to wrap up with a fun, lighthearted closing question. And so the question we would ask you, being at Duolingo, if you had to pick one interesting language for you to learn using Duolingo that you don't currently speak or use, what language would that be?
Irish. Is it Gaelic?
Oh, Gaelic. Nice.
Yeah. I love Ireland. I'm actually going there this summer with my daughters. I'm doing French. I have a streak in French, but yeah, Ireland would be one if I was just like had spare time and wanted to play around.
That's excellent. Catherine, how about you?
The language of reason. Does Duolingo have something for that?
Yeah, actually, I've asked the general counsel. I'm like, Duolingo needs to do like a legal, because I try to read some of the contracts, I'm like, I don't know what they're saying.
What would be your answer, Steve?
So actually, Spanish is the most popular language at our house, and I can honestly say we are proud Duolingo customers. My wife bought the. It's like the enterprise version of something. It's like a million licenses and whatever, like for everybody in the family. And our 13-year-old Lizzie is actually on a massive streak, like a massive streak with Spanish. Anyway, it's super cool. I'm not a huge fan of the kids spending like unlimited time on their phones, but when I know they're on Duolingo, actually, like, okay, this is good. Like, this is a good thing.
Yeah, we'll have to send your daughter some stickers.
She would love that. Well, those were such terrific insights and such a great story, honestly, that Nancy shared. You know, one of the things that really resonated to me was not just the power of great technology. I'll be really honest with you, dear listener. We were a little bit surprised by just how vocal of a fan she was of Workiva. Not surprised, just we weren't expecting that, which was great. But one of the other things that she brought up, which is especially important for capital markets, is the customer service and support aspect of it. Again, that is such high profile, high stakes kind of work. When you need help, you need it, and you need it right now. And I love the fact that she mentioned that, because so many of our customers who are going through capital markets transactions actually experience the exact same thing and realize the same benefits that Nancy did.
It was good to hear.
It was.
But thanks again to Nancy for joining us.
And big thanks to you, dear listener, for surfing along with us. And big thanks, as always, to Catherine Tsai and Mike Gravano for part two of this phenomenal discussion with Nancy. This has been Off the Books, presented by Workiva. We'll be back soon with season 6 of Off the Books. Can you believe it?
Wow. Please subscribe, leave a review, tell your buddies if you liked the show, sound off in the comments if you're watching on YouTube, and feel free to drop us a line at offthebooks@workiva.com. Surf's up, and we'll see you on the next wave.